You know, everything goes back to our thoughts. Everything. Everything. It really can be easy. It starts with having thoughts that line up with truth, that feels good. The story behind it all. Seeing my sister's name on the caller ID, I answered the phone. Her voice uttered a gut-wrenching terror that triggered my adrenaline to pump at an alarming rate. A nurse just called me. Jody's being taken by helicopter to a hospital, but she's not sure which hospital he's going to. She just told me to sit tight and wait for her call. All the nurse could tell Jennifer about Jody's condition was that there was bleeding on the back of his brain, which is what alerted them to reroute him to a specialized hospital. Within moments after arriving at the hospital, we saw Jody on a bed being wheeled from a testing room into ICU. Jennifer, already emotionally shaken to her core, sobbed as she saw her husband of 25 years appearing so lifeless with tubes sticking out of everywhere. Hospitals are not my thing, and I don't have the natural gift of comforting others when they are physically ill, and I feel especially uneasy doing hospital visits when somebody is in a life-threatening situation. But this is my little sister and my brother-in-law, so I knew my role was to be strong for both of them. In order to console her, I tapped into what is very natural for me, my intuition. And from there, I spoke whatever words of encouragement flowed through me. Jody's blood pressure was sky high. They ruled out a heart attack, and now we're thinking he had suffered a stroke. Only time would determine if and when Jody would regain consciousness. Late that night, the nurse strongly urged us to head home to get sleep because we were in for a long road ahead. While Jennifer was talking to Jody's attending nurse, I walked over to the nurse's station and struck up a conversation. I said, "Since you deal with this all the time, can you give me a realistic time frame as to when Jody might be released?" The nurse told me he was looking at a minimum of a 3-week hospital stay, if he makes it. That was the very moment I realized Jody's condition was truly life or death serious. I was with Jennifer emotionally every step of the way. I was with her as she expressed her tears and fears. And in response, I gently encouraged her to see what was happening through the lens of possibility, not the physical reality. After 1 week in the hospital, Jody's condition was improving enough that as Jennifer talked to him, he was able to follow her with his eyes and communicate by squeezing her fingers. I told her repeatedly, she's so much stronger than she was allowing herself to know. And throughout this time, I was witnessing an incredible strength blossom within her. Little by little, she was beginning to see it too. She admitted how she'd always relied on Jody or me to be strong for her, but now she was seeing how these circumstances were causing her to become strong for herself, which made her feel good. Through Jennifer's desperate attempt to communicate with her husband, she developed her own method of having a two-way communication with him, where she was able to sense a deep connection regardless of his ability to reciprocate in a physical way or not. Throughout this ordeal, Jennifer and I spent countless hours in conversation. She leaned on me for inspiration and encouragement so she could be at her best when she was physically with Jody. Her incredible strength was becoming so apparent. One of Jody's doctors told Jennifer how truly unusual she was as compared to most other family members he encountered who were so beside themselves with grief they were unable to give anything positive to their loved one. He remarked at how amazed he was at Jennifer's positive attitude, emotional strength, and how she showered Jody with love and encouragement in a way that he considered inspiring. Eventually, due to the severity of brain damage, Jennifer made the decision to remove Jody from life support. And what was so remarkable on the night of Jody's passing, Jennifer said to me with a lightness in her voice, "I know I'm going to be okay." And then she smiled. My sister is not the typical grieving widow because she's not actually grieving. How is that possible, you might be asking? She's not grieving in the typical sense because during our many conversations while Jody was in the hospital, I held the space for her to fully feel and express her grief and sadness. And then I helped her shift her thinking and focus into more powerful ways to view the circumstances. She literally processed the grief as she was experiencing it, instead of pushing it off until a later time. As I was recalling the unbelievable transformation I witnessed of my baby sister going from a woman in despair to the powerful woman that she became in just 17 days, it took my breath away. And before I could consciously think my next thought, I felt a surge of energy coursing through my body that erupted in tears of joy. In that moment, I knew, as I declared with great clarity, that I would spend the rest of my life inspiring and encouraging others to live their lives in joy and ease, like I was able to help Jennifer do. Through her openness to receive what I shared, she adopted thoughts, ideas, and beliefs that helped her to release the feelings of grief and sadness and find real hope and happiness. And today she's living a wonderful life knowing that she is more than okay because she lives from an inner truth, which is everything's always working out for me. And it truly does.